All right, everyone. Sorry to interrupt your conversations, but we might make a formal start to our evening. It's been great to sit and chat and yarn and have a feed, which is great. I might just ask, as I'm talking and saying intro, there's three chairs behind me here for Tim and Rowan and Eddie. So if you want to make your way down this way eventually. Those in the back room can come and join us if they want, or you can welcome to stay there too, whatever works. But welcome. Welcome to this, what we're calling a community barbecue and yarn with three levels of government, all three, local, state, and federal. And thanks to many of you who have put questions in prior to tonight, and they've been organised and ready to go, and we'll talk about that process in a second. But just very important, as we do start off the night, we must acknowledge we are on Aboriginal land wherever we are in this country, and pay respect to our traditional custodians of this land we're on, and to their elders past, present and emerging. So I want to do that to start with as a very important part of our night as well. This building you all know very well. A couple of simple housekeeping things. If you don't know, remember the toilets are out the front. There are a couple of visitors in the room. That bar will be open so you can grab soft drinks and water all through the night as well as you need to. Make yourself comfortable as you go about things. We are here under the Cooper P Together name, so as you all know, we have a way of working. We treat this as a conversation where we respect each other, take care of each other, and make sure we listen to each other throughout the night and value all those different opinions that might come up as well. How this evening is going to work, how the day has been working so far. First and foremost, we must particularly welcome the three up the front, Tim, Eddie and Rowan, and particularly to Eddie and Rowan who have travelled here to be with us, which is great, so thank you for being with us for tonight. We're putting them on the spot with a whole heap of questions, but they're ready to go. What has happened today is this afternoon, so you're aware of the process, the facilitation group, Cooper Together Facilitation Group, have met with these three to talk about all the questions that are on the list, the things we've heard from community, trying to work out where we go, a number of things. That has led then into tonight's conversation, which is your questions that you've put forward in the weeks prior to tonight. So, what we have done, all the questions you put in, whether it was online, through the form, through email, wherever it might have been, or spoke to one of the facilitators, they have gone into a combined list of questions. What we have done is we've grouped those questions into topics, so e.g. health, education, accessibility, roads, airports, etc. And what we'll do in a second, you're not going to see me for most of the night, which is a great thing. I'm going to hand over and the facilitators from the facilitation group are going to take over. And they're going to ask these questions to the three up the front for you. They'll then follow up with some follow-up questions as they need to. And we'll get to the bottom of a whole heap of questions that you've put forward. So that's the process that we'll go through tonight. So you know, the facilitators are in the room right as we speak. Nick's up the front, so I saw you first, Nick, which is great. We also have Des. Some of you might be at the back still tidying up a barbecue. We have Sabrina, who will be around as well shortly. We have Jackie, Sandy. We also have, in fact, that's everyone today, I think, because we've got a few people sick as well. So during the night, if you've got further questions you want to talk about stuff or following tonight, please make sure you go and talk to one of those people as well. I will let you know that two things are happening in terms of reporting on this meeting. So one, Dusty are recording the meeting, so it'll be available for people to listen to if they were not here tonight or to listen to again. Second, there'll also be obviously a report in the paper coming through as well. So you'll have opportunities to find what's being spoken about and the records of that as well. I think that's all the housekeeping for me, really. I don't want to speak too much. I'm going to hand over to Nick because Nick is the first facilitator that's going to kind of ask some questions. And what each of the facilitators will do, they'll tell you what the questions are, they'll read them out, of course, and give you a bit of a background as well. So let's see how this goes.
Hi, everyone, and especially hello to you. First topic I'm bringing up is the role of Cooper Pedy in the far north. Now, Cooper Pedy is mostly forgotten across all levels of government, yet the town plays a very important role in this region of South Australia. Will all levels of government formally recognise Cooper Pedy as the far north regional hub of South Australia? This recognition would lead to shifts in policy thinking, planning and implementation. It would mean that when considering any conversations about the far north of South Australia, Cooper Pedy would have to be considered. So Rowan, Eddie and Tim, will you formally recognise Coomera as the far north regional hub of South Australia?
It's probably worthwhile explaining a bit of process. Some of you would know, that I'm a backbencher in the current state Labor government that hasn't been in power for all of that long. It's and when it comes to decision making and the things that we do, it's to advocate on behalf of the community. But ultimately, I've got to convince our cabinet and convince our caucus, and our caucus is made up of all of Labor parliamentary members. So that is the process that will determine if we accept something like that. Now, that doesn't stop me from expressing a personal point of view. Yeah, in principle, I think the suggestion is a very good one. And it's a very good one because, in a sense, Coomera is already the de facto service hub for the far north of the state. So I don't see any problem in formalising that. But the important thing is not just about giving it a name. Come back to how state government agencies and hopefully federal government agencies and the two levels of government working together with local government, how they are then going to implement it. You can call anything, and it doesn't necessarily mean anything's going to change. One of the issues in a lot of communities is collaboration amongst the service providers and others that are. So it might well be that having Coomera declared as the service hub for the far north of the state becomes that first step in developing a framework, so we have a far greater degree of collaboration and a concentration of the services in this community that the far north has. Now, I'm not saying that there would not be a whole range of challenges about this. Lots of regional communities at the moment, and in fact the metropolitan area as well, are struggling to find workers across a whole range of disciplines. And so that challenge is going to be with us for a while. I think we need to really open up immigration and make sure that immigration is targeted at regional communities, while at the same time you're really training our workforce and our young people and investing in vocational education and other skill development areas. So in principle, I'm a very strong supporter of the concept. I'm more than happy to advocate with the state government that we move in that direction.
Thanks, Eddie. I don't know if this mic's going. It seems to be going off and on a bit, but anyway, do the best we can. Look, I would say, Nick, that that's a name. I'm not sure it's a destination. I would more throw the challenge back and say, what is it that Coomera doesn't have that you think would complete the jigsaw puzzle? My view is that most things are here in Coomera already, but the problem is that by and large many of them are not properly staffed and not not running quite at the level they should do. I'm not saying they're underfunded. But I'm just saying that it's really hard to get the right people in to provide the services. So, if we look at hospital or the mental health care services or the mining industry or whatever it might be, the police, we're struggling, the education system, we are struggling to get the people in situ in Coomera. Now, I know that's a problem, Eddie knows it's a problem, but knowing it's a problem and actually flicking the switch and fixing it is not easy. Obviously, anything we can do to promote Coomera as a cohesive society that's a good place to live is a really helpful thing. Now, we've met with the committee this afternoon. They're all focused on things that we can do. You're on the committee, Nick, to make Coomera a better and a better place to live. As far as being that service centre for the far north, well, I'm quite happy to call you that, just as I'm quite happy to call it the Copper Coast or call Clare Valley the wine region, the northern wine region of South Australia. But it's actually what we do on the ground that will determine whether or not that label is fit for purpose. Now, I think at this stage we just need to push harder, like to make sure to ensure that the services we have are up to standard. And if we're not getting the kind of resources to make them work properly, and I understand it's harder to get people to Coober Pedy than most places, so perhaps more incentives need to be offered to get the right people here. And I'm quite happy to back that point of view and do anything I can to assist.
Look, absolutely would be my answer, Nick. I think, I mean, we are the hub already of the Far North because we are the most significant town in the Far North. So we already perform that role, but I think we could do it, far better. The population of the town has declined significantly over the last probably 25 years. Now, that's due to opal mining, of course, and not as many people involved in that. But I think the population is a challenge. The most recent census data had us declining from about 1,800 to 1,500. You know, there's people that are saying, you know, is that really accurate, et cetera, et cetera. The fact of the matter is it did decline, and perhaps the 1,800, you may well have had the same issues with that count. So I think, I think the answer is absolutely. I think what we can do, however, is you would have heard of this, well, hopefully you've heard of this task force that the state government has set up to advance the municipal and essential services issue in Coober Pedy, so focusing on the council and essential services. Sure, that's important at the outset, but I think that we need to ensure, and I raised this today with both Rowan and Eddie, we need to make sure that task force continues. It's at a very, very high level. It's led by the Department of Premier and Cabinet. So we need to keep that in place, for at least, the next decade, whilst we deal with some of the issues that that could absolutely make us the hub of the North. Things like we were talking today about the airport. That needs significant investment. We could attract more people here, more tourists here, if the airport was its capacity was better than what it is. But that needs significant investment beyond the ability of the council. It really does need particularly federal funding. These are the sorts of things that we need to be looking at. But we must, and I've written a council resolve last week at its council meeting to write to Jeff Brock, the Minister for Local Government, but more importantly, regional development, about this very issue of, look, the task force, whilst initially set up for this purpose, It should have a much broader remit than that, and it should be about, saying things, looking at things like, economic development, health, education system came up today. If we're going to attract and importantly retain people, often we can attract, but, people often move away because, the education system's not good enough or the health system's not good enough. So retaining those people is really, really important. But yes, do you? Yes.
Thank you. Oh, sorry. Just a couple more questions as well. Thank you for those answers, and some of you have already answered some of my second question, but I'd like to delve a bit deeper. How do all levels of government see themselves helping community of Coober Pedy forge their path for the future, including to seek, form, build and grow a genuine two-way relationship partnership with Coober Pedy in the Far North of SA?
Look, it's working together. That really is the answer. I mean, you people are here tonight because you want to work together. I think so. You're interested in hearing what others are doing, what the three levels of government are doing, but what some of you are doing in your own community. So it is very, very much about working together. That's the only way we're going to advance the town. Michael can probably flash it around, but Coober Pedy Together has got a high level vision for the town that's been created by the citizens, not bureaucrats, not politicians. It's actually an articulation of what citizens want. So, you know, we've got a roadmap. And can I just also say that, you know, the council has played a role here to get Cooper Pedy together. You know, essentially was initiated by the council. We fund it on an annual basis, and certainly it's my intention, albeit that I'm leaving, but I would hope that the subsequent administrator would continue to provide those funds for the support of the whole initiative of Cooper Pedy Together, because that's the only way, we're going to achieve or maintain and enhance our role as the hub of the Far North.
Yeah, just to echo part of what Tim has said, I think it's incredibly important that initiatives come from the ground up. The residents of Cooper Pedy are the ones that live here and will have a better idea than people in Adelaide about what is needed and what it is that you want to achieve. And that there are already some examples in Cooper Pedy when the community did work together, where they got a good win. I remember when I was a candidate back in 2013, one of the Labor ministers, who will remain nameless, did something that I thought was really shitty, and he cut the electricity subsidy for Cooper Pedy and for other remote communities. And in fact, he used the line, if people don't like it, they can go and live somewhere else, which I thought was absolutely disgraceful. There was a good community campaign going on to reintroduce grid parity pricing when it came to electricity. And as a candidate then, I got our party to commit to the reinstatement of the full subsidy. But that job was made a lot easier by this community, all sections of this community working together. Now, that is incredibly important, that grassroots approach. But it's also important that that government, and I'll speak for state government, engage. Over the last 4 years, an administrator was appointed and nothing else was done. It was virtually that the government just washed their hands of Cooper Pedy. You did not see the local government minister visit Cooper Pedy. Leading up to the last election, I said to some people in Cooper Pedy, I will ensure that early on in our term, the local government minister comes. And Jeff did, and he faced a community meeting here, and he met with a whole bunch of people, this community. Jeff is going to be up again on the 26th of October, and he's given a commitment that he's going to come up on a regular basis while we work through with the Cooper Pedy community some of the issues that are faced. At a state level, we've now set up a high-level task force, and it is led out of Premier and Cabinet. Brockie is central to this as well, and it will be for that task force to work with the community to resolve some of the challenges that Cooper Pedy faces. We're not going to resolve all of the challenges, but certainly there's some challenges that I believe that we can make a real positive difference. Now, I spoke to the minister again today, and just to emphasise again that it's great that we've got these high-level bureaucrats in Adelaide that have been appointed to this high-level committee, but this committee needs to engage fully with the Cooper Pedy community in order to get things rolling. And I think I'm going to get a commitment that will happen, because I cannot emphasise too much how important it is for that full-on community engagement to happen. But there's already a lot of work going on in Cooper Pedy. People are already working together to paint a positive picture for the community. So even though the task force is going to look at some of the issues around essential services around governance, it needs to cast that net wider to look at education and to look at health in this community and to look at, even though there'll be some other elements of government doing this, to look at some of the antisocial behaviour in this community as well.
Thanks, Eddie. federal government is a very big operation, and generally speaking, services are delivered by program across Australia. So we have Centrelink, and you basically try and get the same service in every community. So it's my job to make sure that all of my communities get as much as possible parity for service. Now, I've got probably around about 150 towns the same size as Coober Pedy or smaller. Now, I accept that not every service can be delivered in every community, but there needs to be recognition of the fact that some communities, they can drive for half an hour and get to a bigger place where those services are on offer. In other places like Coober Pedy, the fallback options are much tougher, and that needs to be recognised on an ongoing basis. So it's my job to make sure that that the federal government overall, whether we're in government or whether we're in opposition, as I am at the moment, that they are well aware of the issues, and a couple of things have been brought to my notice today that I will take up with the relevant ministers, and ensure also that every community is aware of the grants that do become available for various things in community. Now, for instance, last night I sat down with my panel from across Grey to look at volunteer grants. Now, this is not a big round of grants, but it does go right across the electorate. And I can't remember one from Coober Pedy. So my memory is that we put this out on electronic media, that we did it in an e-newsletter. Maybe we haven't got the message out well enough. I thought it would have come back through council as well, Tim, but you might put me right. But it's all those kinds of things. It's my job to make sure that you know what's available and then me to try and maximise that outcome. And Eddie touched on the electricity, and it's a good thing to touch on it. It's a little while back now, but $40 million of the money to support the new electricity generation system in Coober Pedy came through AEMO, which is a federal government body in form of grant. So it's not as if you're not recognised, and that was not recognised as a specific problem of a community that is isolated from the rest of South Australia, if you like, because there's no electricity line hooking you up, and it needed special kind of attention. We've got special attention. I understand the electricity prices are generally in sync now, Eddie, like one way and another, but I think that includes the subsidy. But the fact that you are getting roughly parity prices on electricity now is a good thing and something that I support. Where are we?
That's all right. Thank you very much. Just finally on this topic, to help this cause, given that both the seats of Grey and Giles have significant areas to cover and to represent, would it be possible to have a set time each month or on every second month where staff member from the electoral offices and, as possible, the local members could be present? And if so, could that be made known to the community so that the community have a direct way to interact?
People assume that political officers are very well funded. I know you've got a far bigger seat and you get more resources, but my staff, we don't have a car for the office. So we don't have, I've worked for Commonwealth agencies before, serving big regions, and you would get a car to do it. No cars are funded for the people that work in my office. The only car that I've got is my own private vehicle. It's a approved fleet SA, which I pay for. So that's the only vehicle. And I've got 2.5 staff. So that's what I'm funded for. So it's not as simple as just someone from my office coming out to a community. I've got a whole bunch of communities in my electorate. So I guess as a result, because Wyler has by far the greatest number of electorates, that's where the office is. Now, I'm going to make more of an effort to come here on a regular basis. I was here a few weeks ago, and I spent 4 days here. I'm here today. I'm back here. I'm here today for a couple of days, and I'm back here on the 26th. And I'm going to get back into that habit of, when I do come, writing to everybody to let them know that I am in the community, and happy to meet wherever people want to meet to discuss their issues. Now, there might be occasions where I can send a staff member up. It's but I think you're going to have to rely upon me more than my staff in Whyalla. I could put the argument to Treasury that I get a little bit of extra electorate allowance, but they do not fund these seats the way they need to be funded, that it might well be appropriate to have, like you say, regular staff up here on a monthly basis. So I can have that discussion with Treasury to see if they will provide more funding.
Yeah, good on you. Thanks, Eddie. Look, I don't think I got told earlier today, don't bullshit anyone. I'm not going to bullshit you. I spent 18 to 20 weeks of the year in Canberra. I just can't cut myself that thin. It's just not possible. I've got 170,000 people in the electorate, and it covers, as you know, 92% of the state. I go everywhere I can as often as I can. I reckon I get to Coober Pedy about five times a year on average. I'd have to check my books. I try and let people know I'm coming or make myself available, walk down the street, knock on doors, do whatever. And I will keep trying to do that. Certainly when you call events like this, I'll do my very best to get to them. But there's no guarantees in that. I mean, we had a parliamentary week shifted only a couple of weeks ago, and things do change. And I just don't think I couldn't offer that level of service to one community and not do it to a whole heap of others. But it is an electronic world in which we live in. These things here, it's not very hard to get in touch. I've got three offices. It's not very hard to get in touch with us. We will take every contact we get in my office, we take seriously, whether you want to email me, whether you want to ring my staff, or write a snail mail letter. We will take it seriously. We'll get back to you. We'll try and deal with your issues the best way we possibly can. And when the council comes to me or other community bodies, I'll do my very best to address those issues as well.
I'll save you the walk.
Thank you very much. Well, let's answer those questions. Is there any closing comments from anybody in regards to the matters?
Yeah, no. I think it's important what Rowan said, given all the communication channels available these days. It's officers are easy to get in touch with. It's and it can be, and we get lots of messages on Facebook Messenger. We get emails, we get texts, we get phone calls, and some people take the time to write letters. Contacted by organisations within Coober Pedy, the council is in regular contact, other bodies are. But it is important that sometimes there's issues that might go under the radar, state government services that people, for a range of reasons, might not be happy with. But it's important to let the local member know, because sometimes there's a pattern of behaviour which can then be addressed.
Thank you very much. I'll hand back to Michael. Oh, sorry.
Yeah.